to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Yes. Welcome back to the political cesspool as we head into our third and final hour tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You've heard from Mark Glenn and John Tate already. Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance Magazine, on the line right now. Pat Buchanan still to come before our time runs out with you tonight. Jared, I appreciate you coming on the program tonight and sticking with us for a little extended play through the couple of breaks, but I wanted to be sure to ask for all of those people listening around the country tonight the contact information for American Renaissance. This is a magazine that addresses the issues that we've been talking about for the last few minutes with regards to census projections and demographics and so on and so forth, and much, much more. As I said, it truly is the premier journal of Western thought in the country today, and you do a very fine job as editor. So, Jared, how can people get more information about American Renaissance?
We have a very active web page that is reachable at amren.com, and that's short for American Renaissance. So that's amren.com, and we welcome tourists, and we welcome subscribers, we welcome donations, we welcome people to just come by and kick the tires. We welcome everyone.
And a lot of people are on there kicking the tires each day. Jared Taylor has a very prominent website with much traffic, a lot of comments, a lot of interesting stories. It's just a wealth of information there at amren.com, and that is American Renaissance. And Jared, I know it's past midnight over there in Washington, D.C., where you're calling from now, where you're headquartered, and I want to thank you for burning the midnight oil with us literally tonight on the cesspool. Always good to hear from you.
Jared, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Is there a Spanish version of that webpage?
You press any button, and you get English only.
That's good to hear.
That's right what they said. Jared Taylor is evil. Evil. Hey, Jared, thanks a lot, my friend, and we appreciate you, and keep up the good fight.
Thank you so much. A pleasure being on your program.
Anytime. Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance. You've probably seen him on TV already, but now you've heard him on the political cesspool tonight. Check out his site, amren.com. And while you're surfing the World Wide Web, come on over to our website. We'd love to hear from you. We love getting emails from our listeners, both here in Memphis and abroad, and we love working with you to exact positive change. I know Barack Obama has trademarked the word change, so I use it cautiously, but come visit us on the web at thepoliticalcesspool.org, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Bill, it's been a busy night so far. Can you believe we still have a little time left?
It's been very busy and very enlightening and very entertaining. I don't know if you heard about this story, to what extent you heard about this, but of course, many states and municipal governments are enacting laws or changing their codes to include gay marriage or civil unions, and that is, they are going through the motions of legalizing homosexual marriage and homosexual unions. But this process has begun to cause concern in some states, particularly in Massachusetts and California, because of fears that prisoners incarcerated in prisons in these states may seek marriage rights.
All right,
they
right
set
there.
Up housekeeping in prison.
Sit tight with that. We're going to pick up on that story. Homosexual prisoners getting married. Can it happen? Well, a lot worse has happened already in this country, and we've lived through it, so don't expect a positive outcome here, at least in the short term. We're going to pick it up right there when the political cesspool returns right after this commercial break. You are listening to the award-winning political cesspool radio program right here on RBN. And James Edwards and Bill Rowland will be back with you in just a moment.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will do more than just fog up your windows when they return right after these messages.
Maybe in the back row of a movie show.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardiovite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardiovite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Thank you, Art and Chris. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everyone. James Edwards here with Bill Rowland, who is co-hosting with me tonight. And Bill has been with us since the very beginning. It's been 4 years we've been working. Well, much longer than that, but at least 4 years on the radio. And I want to pick up right where we left off. Bill was talking about the prospects of homosexual inmates being able to marry. If you want to chime in on the subject, give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. But this is actually starting to hair-lip the press, Bill. Homosexual rights groups, quote-unquote, refuse to discuss it for fear of turning people against gay marriage or homosexual marriage, whatever you want to call it. But it's just a matter of time until prisoners start marrying each other. In California, Massachusetts, where gay marriage has already been legalized, no prisoners have yet pressed the issue, but they will. And since prisoners already have the right to get married to begin with, there's not much the state can do about it. Of course, once prisoners start marrying each other, the ACLU and the ADL will probably start demanding that taxpayers cover the cost of Viagra for them. Anyway, Bill, where does it go from here? We can marry toasters if we want to. A toaster and a dishwasher can give. Yeah, this isn't much more ridiculous than that. I mean, who could have imagined how far America would have fallen from where we were just 40, 50 years ago? I mean, our moral compass is not broken. It's been thrown away. And now this is something that we have to seriously talk about on the radio. And that's sickening to me. You know, of course, I'm a Christian, and I guess that makes me a Nazi, but, you know, what do you make of it?
The problem, besides the obvious problem with this gay marriage incarceration, incarcerated prisoners getting married, is that one thing that convicts learn how to do when with all the spare time they have on their hands is to exploit the system. And much of the law that goes into how prisons are run and how prisoners are treated and where, you know, the appeals process and so forth has begun with what were called the prison lawyers, the convict lawyers who got degrees in prison and law and then, of course, immediately began the process of trying to get themselves out of prison. So you can immediately understand that if prisoners do seek marriage, that they're going to use the rights of marriage in a way to exploit the system and get as much as they can out of the system. And so I would expect that as married couples, they would seek some sort of domestic rights in prison that they wouldn't otherwise have. But you can certainly believe that they'll have a con to go along with this this convict marriage business. And it has put Massachusetts and California in a difficult position because obviously the homosexual rights groups have promoted their marriage rights and their rights to get married in various states as a family values issue. But now with convicts trying to get married or seeking marriage, it definitely taints their efforts and makes their efforts to a marriage between people of the same gender, it makes it an obvious, an obvious absurdity. So, I would think that, for instance, what could happen if two prisoners who wanted to get married demand that they be married by a prison minister? And what if they force prison ministries to perform the rites of marriage in prison? What's going to happen to prison ministries in that case? What's going to happen when they get married and suddenly want to adopt children, and or if they want to set up certain domestic rights in prison? It's going to be a huge headache for the prison system in California and Massachusetts. But this is what comes of setting up abominable laws to allow for abominable acts and to legitimate abominations in our society. So I would think that the homosexual rights groups and the homosexual empowerment groups are embarrassed by this because one of the big movements is going to be for prisoner marriage, and I can guarantee you that the convicts will pick up on this and find a way to exploit it to their best advantage.
Well, we'll wait and see. I don't expect a favorable resolution on that, ladies and gentlemen. This is progress, according to Barack Obama, right, Bill? I mean, this is the kind of change and progress that, if you use the word progress in that sort of a way, this is the kind of America that, you know, these people, and I'm not talking about black people, I'm talking about Marxists, that's what they want, right?
Of course. There was one of the Frankfurt School theorists, I think it was Herbert Marcuse, who talked about polymorphous perversity. And this is the idea of completely overturning gender roles, throwing away gender identity, allowing for all sexual perversion as a way to overthrow the values of this country. And this is where the legalization of homosexual unions, whether by marriage or by civil union, is taking this country. It's taking this country further down the road to self-destruction. And whenever, you know, as we were talking in the first hour with John Tate, you know, this is more about leading our traditions and our values into the sewer. And I think bringing this up about the possibility of convicts getting married and entering into the relationship of married couples is a good way to throw this whole effort off the tracks, to throw this campaign to legitimate an abominable relationship off the tracks.
Well, again,
I hope the convicts derail what so far decent-thinking Americans have been unable to stop.
Well, Well, you know, we've had our victories, and we've had our defeats, and unfortunately the defeats are beginning to outnumber the victories. At least here in Tennessee, we were able to vote on that, 2004, I believe it was?
We were able to stop effort to bring to legalize homosexual marriage in this state by referendum. And now in Tennessee, the only legal marriage is a marriage between a man and a woman. So, you know, there won't be any of these civil unions in Tennessee, and of course Tennessee won't recognize them from other states either.
Well, that's how the Nazis do it in Tennessee, Bill. But anyway, listen to this. Of course, everyone's a Nazi now. Everyone's a racist. If you're to the right of Joe Stalin, you get called these things by the liberals. Anyway, you mentioned this earlier, Bill. Community organizer is now racist code. It's a racist code word now. So says the black governor of New York, David Patterson. Yes, he said on the record that Sarah Palin was playing to the racism of the overwhelmingly white GOP delegates when she ridiculed Barack Obama's resume. Okay? Of course, the principle doesn't work in reverse. Patterson has no problem referring to the majority white New York legislature as bloodsuckers. But anyway, here's what the guy had to say, the governor of New York. This was last Monday. He angered some state lawmakers by comparing them to vampires, calling them a bunch of bloodsuckers. And on Tuesday, he raised eyebrows yet again, and tempers, by the way, by accusing John McCain of veiled racism, or his McCain. And this is what David Patterson, again, governor of New York, had to say, Bill, and I quote, "I think the Republican Party is too smart to call Barack Obama black in a sense that it would be a negative, but you can take something about his life, which I noticed they did at the Republican convention, a community organizer. They kept saying it, and they kept laughing." Patterson says that he sees the repeated use of the words community organizer as Republican code for black. Is that even worth talking about, Bill? Or, you know,
yes, it is.
This is the political cesspool, after all.
It is worth talking about, because name me, I'd like someone to name three or four more people who are prominent community organizers, okay? I'll list two right away. Al Sharpton is a community organizer. He has been described as a community organizer. Jesse Jackson is a community organizer. Cesar Chavez was a community organizer. These are people who are community organizers, and it's a left-wing term. It's a pseudo-communist term for someone who is preparing a mini revolution within a community, that is the overthrow or the dismantling of a community government, and then the rebuilding of community government in a more Bolshevik fashion. That's what community organizers do. They use federal money or government funds to create the communities that they want, as opposed to the communities that the taxpayers want. And so, yes, community organizers, I don't know right offhand any white community organizers. So, you know, by reason of, by default, community organizers are not white. Can you think of, any caller who would like to call in and name a community organizer in their city or state, I'd like to know if there's a white community organizer out there somewhere who does what Barack Obama, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, or any of these other community organizers do. I would like to know one, you know, that is white. And then we'll find out where the racial code is.
Everything's racist now, too. Mm-hmm. Racism means everything, therefore it means nothing. But we're about to go to break, and if somebody can name us a white community organizer, a professional community organizer, give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. Pat Buchanan, still to come tonight on the Political Cesspool. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these few words.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Just because of that, they say, hey, he's a rebel and he'll never, never be any good. He's a rebel 'cause he never, never does.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
Well, I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you ready for the coming winter? Are you really ready for the diseases that have been cooked up for this year? Flu viruses, staph, even MRSA, or strep. Remember, flu vaccines are made from past year's viruses, not what's current and coming at you. Go to buyyoungliving essential oils.com, where you will find the top standardized therapeutic quality essential oils on the planet. Order and try out the body and environment safe Thieves product line. The antimicrobial essential oil blend, household cleaner, foaming hand soap, spray, throat lozenges, and many more. Use pure therapeutic-grade essential oils because they are safe, and many are extremely effective at killing any bacteria, virus, or fungus, and they never become resistant to these oils. At buyyounglivingessentialoils.com, you'll find out what it's really like to get your health back.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Now let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
So today, I'll be standing right by his side when they say...
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program as we wind down, or begin to wind down tonight. Still a lot to come. You're still going to hear from Pat Buchanan tonight, so it can't be all bad. Bill, I know you wanted to continue or conclude elaborating on a few points we were making before the break.
Well, before the break, we were talking about community organizers, and I put a challenge out there to name one white community organizer, and I did happen to think of one, and that is Noel Ignatieff. We mentioned him in our interview with Jared Taylor. Well, Noel Ignatieff is a community organizer for white people, and of course, he's trying to organize white people to commit suicide, basically, to cease to exist. But I guess he is a white community organizer, but he's taking us in the wrong direction. That's the only problem.
Well, maybe we should get in the community organization racket, Bill. What do you think?
I'd like to organize something. You know, I'd like to get together and organize something fun. But the only problem is we wouldn't be able to get any federal funds for our organization, much like La Raza gets federal funds or some of these other groups. So, you know, it would be sort of an economy, I guess, community organization. You know, we could perhaps meet in a park somewhere every now and then and see what we could organize. But, I mean, essentially that's the difference between different community organizations is how much money these organizations receive from the federal government or the state governments or the city governments. And that's the key. That's what a community organizer really does, is shake down the government for money. Or a business, you know, something. They shake down businesses for money. That's where, you know, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson created this this nonsense about environmental racism. And they go to different poor neighborhoods, you know, where blacks lived in poor neighborhoods, and they would look around and find some factory or some business that, you know, was providing jobs that also might be polluting the area or leaving trash or something. Then they would scream environmental racism. Well, the whole point of that was, of course, to shake down that corporation for money. And so that's also part of community organizing. Community organizing is profitable because the community organizer can make out pretty well.
Well, you know, that's it. I know my new career path now. So it's
community organizer.
All right. Well, we already got the radio show, so we got a heads up there. We can use that. I don't know. We'll figure out a plan. We'll figure out a plan, and we'll figure. We're going to be figuring it out, Bill, with some great guests. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, you know, this is just our second show. We've been doing this for 4 years. This is just our second show on RBN, and we're trying to put our best foot forward with some real household names, and many of those are coming up later this month at the Political Cesspool. You'll hear from Paul Craig Roberts, the venerable syndicated columnist. Paul Craig Roberts has been a guest of ours quite a few times in the past, as has Constitution Party presidential nominee Chuck Baldwin. He'll be diving into the political cesspool before the calendar turns to October. We'll also hear from Peter Brimelow on this program during the month of September, the iconic author of Alien Nation, Peter Brimelow.
By the way, James, by the way, that quote I got by Noel Ignatieff comes from, or was taken from, an article written by Paul Craig Roberts entitled, "Does Harvard Hate the White Race?" So we've got a great topic
yes,
for him.
Yes, I was just going to mention that. Of course, Paul Craig Roberts has been cranking out great columns for, well, I'm only 28 years old, probably longer than I've been alive. I don't want to age Paul Craig, but he has been doing good work for a long time. If only we had a few more of him. But yes, you know, that is in fact his latest column, "Does Harvard Hate the White Race?" That's the latest column from Paul Craig Roberts. So I don't know if we'll be having him on to talk about that, but he's always ready to talk to us, and he's been a gentleman. He's certainly a scholar, and we look forward to bringing him back here on RBN. And, you know, we've been blessed, Bill. We certainly have in many ways, not the least of which being access to all of these great guests. And as you know, much more so than just being acquaintances or folks we call up or strangers we call up just to talk to for a few minutes on the air. We work with these people, these fine people, throughout the year, every year, and we have for a while, and we enjoy a strong working relationship with our audience and, indeed, our guests as well, some more than others, but all to a certain degree. And it's, you know, and that's necessary because certainly our work doesn't begin and end here on the radio. What we do here on the radio is just a precursor to what we would like to do on the streets. And certainly our people need to be taking to the streets and speaking up and standing up and speaking out for our country, for our God, for our people, for our Constitution. And we have too few people speaking out on any of those fronts. And we try to serve as a clarion call for them, and hopefully, before we receive our eternal rewards in heaven, we'll be able to do some good on this earthly plane. We're about to go to our next break. Coming up right after the break, we had an opportunity to sit down for an exclusive interview with Pat Buchanan, presidential candidate and best-selling author. You're going to hear that in just a moment when James Edwards and Bill Rowland return to tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool radio program.
Don't go away. You can't continue getting your kicks when the Political Cesspool continues right after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had a 80-90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
To help you face the wind each day, that road goes nowhere.
And now let's return to the political cesspool.
From way, just keep getting harder. You know, I know it's time for me to start talking now, but I enjoy our bumpers so much. I would just like to listen to the music. That was, of course, Paul Revere and the Raiders. Another public service announcement. We did one earlier in the show. We're trying to catch those Obama muggers in those Obama muggers up in Pennsylvania. But with regards to music, a little word from James Edwards here. This is only coming from me. I speak only for myself. But I just want to encourage everyone out there, if you ever have the chance to go and see Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons in concert, don't let the chance pass you by. Just words of advice from me. That really had nothing to do with anything that we talk about on this show, but, you know, since I had music on my mind, I'll go take in a Four Seasons concert. All right, well, Bill Rowland has gone to bed. That's my co-host. He's gone. He works for a living. Unlike our enemies, you know, that's the thing about being a conservative. We have to work for a living. And so Bill was up at 6 o'clock this morning at work. He even works on Saturdays. And so we're about to go to an interview we did with Pat Buchanan, a man who gave me my start in politics back in 2000 when I worked on his presidential campaign. Pat has been a guest on the Political Cesspool a handful of times, the most recent of which was just a few days ago. And we are going to play that interview for you now. Pat Buchanan again, sitting down with the Political Cesspool exclusively to promote his most recent best-selling book, which is titled Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. So we're going to turn it over to our engineer now. If you can fire this interview that I did with Pat Buchanan, I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment.
Back to the program, the one and only Pat Buchanan. Pat, we love you, and thank you for spending a few minutes with us today.
Well, thank you for giving me the time, folks.
Anytime. It's always an honor. And, well, you've done it again, my friend. Another book, another runaway bestseller, but this one is perhaps your most provocative work to date. Tell me, Pat, what compelled you to write Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War?
Well, there were a number of things. One is, it is a phenomenal story. What happened to the Western civilization that ruled the entire world in 1914, and 30 years later, we were, all of Europe was in ashes or aflame, and communists had half of Europe, and all the great Western empires had been destroyed. And so I went back to try to locate the historic blunders that were made, and I think we located eight of them, so it was a great story in the first place. Secondly, it's a cautionary tale for the United States. The arrogance you see, the hubris of these folks, the monarchs and all their retainers just before World War One, we can see emulated today, copied today, frankly, by some folks in the post-Cold War America. So it was to try to tell a cautionary tale to prevent what happening to us, what happened to Great Britain and the British Empire.
Well, with that being said, that is a perfect segue to my next question. What are the parallels between the United Kingdom of the interwar years, those being the years between World War I and World War II, and the United States of America today?
Well, one of the greatest is the British decisions to alienate old allies like Japan, which had been a loyal ally in World War One. The Brits broke the treaty with them on the demand of the United States for no good reason whatsoever. And Japan was sort of driven into isolation and anger and rage, and eventually returned to her own imperial policy and collided with Great Britain. Italy, even under Mussolini, who loathed Hitler, was driven into Hitler's arms by the British-French decision to sanction Italy over a colonial war in Ethiopia, which was a mistake. They should have focused on Germany. And finally, you get this war guarantee that the British gave to Poland unsolicited, even though Poland had participated in the rape of Czechoslovakia. At least the regime had. And so all of these decisions, you see them replicated in the United States now, handing out war guarantees to the Baltic republics, to Ukraine, and Georgia, if McCain is elected. So I just see the same pattern repeating itself again and again. And I do believe the gentleman who said people really do not learn from history was right.
Well, you know, Pat, you've offered so many great books, and I've got all of them. Every time you set to write a book, you can guarantee yourself on one sale, and that's right here in Memphis. But out of all your books, I really appreciated A Republic, Not an Empire as much as any of them. And you addressed this issue in one of the chapters in that book. And in this book, you expound upon that and certainly skewer the myth of Winston Churchill. What are some of the mistakes or myths, if you will, that hold up Churchill as a hero among many Americans, especially the neoconservatives?
Well, there's no question that Winston Churchill was a heroic figure in 1940, when he took over the premiership in Great Britain, just as the Germans were breaking through in the Ardennes. He defied Hitler, he defied the Germans, he fought on, he inspired his people, he was the leader during the Battle of Britain, and Americans watched that from across the ocean, and there was an indelible impression that here was the defiant bulldog who represented the British people at their best. That's a true story, that's not just myth. However, there's another Churchill who in 1942, 43, 44 is slipping into Moscow, dividing Europe with Stalin. I mean, groveling to Stalin in a way that would make Neville Chamberlain look like Davy Crockett, writing off the Poles for whom the British had gone to war. And then you go back all the way to 1913 and 1914. He lusted for war far more than the Kaiser, who was trying to avoid war.
That's right.
And these are all myths that we've been raised on as kids. And so this is one reason I wrote the book, at least the new generation coming up, that is not sort of, if you will, saturated or marinated in these myths, can understand how it was our grandfathers and fathers destroyed Western civilization.
Excellent answer. Very well put. And as with any Buchanan book, this one has received a great deal of fanfare, much critical acclaim, and a few inevitable attacks. What is it, Pat, about World War II that your detractors don't seem to understand?
I think there is an idea, and it's come, frankly, from some, and the book is dedicated to four of my uncles who were Greatest Generation Americans and fought in Europe, one of whom came back from Anzio with a Silver Star. I think it's the idea that this was a good war. This was a war where good, pure good fought pure evil, which a war that had to be fought and was necessary. And there are no doubts and qualms about it. But that is not true, as I write, and that's why you, in effect, are dispelling some of the great myths by which Americans live. When you say that Winston Churchill blundered. Chamberlain and Churchill blundered serially again and again to bring about a war with Germany. Hitler didn't want war with the West. He didn't want war with Poland. He didn't want a world war. He wasn't even prepared for a world war.
Mm-hmm.
To say that he was a thug and a brutal dictator and a bully and someone who used threats of violence and force as tools of diplomacy is correct. To say that he did horrible things in wartime is correct. But as I say, had there been no war, there would have been no Holocaust. And I'm not sure there would have been a war if the British hadn't issued this insane war guarantee.
Well, you know, history is, Pat, kind of like a Sunday buffet. People seemingly take what they want and leave the rest on the table. And, of course, it's been lost to antiquity, the fact that the vast majority of Americans stood with Charles A. Lindbergh and the America First Committee in opposition to our entry into World War II before the attack, of course, on Pearl Harbor.
Well, good for you. Well, good for you in bringing up Colonel Lindbergh's name, because his reputation has been blackened because of a single speech he gave and a couple of paragraphs in it where he said that, there are three forces that are moving for war, and one of them is, of course, the Roosevelt administration. The other is the British, which was clearly true. They had the man called Intrepid, William Stevenson, trying to find ways to get the Americans into war, putting up propaganda, frankly, blackmailing senators and everything. And then he said the Jewish community is beating the drums for war, but this is going to be a disaster for the Jewish community if we get into war. And, of course, that was verboten to say, but frankly, no one has said what he said was, palpably untrue. And these folks, and before December 7, 1941, the America First Committee offered, they said, look, let's put up a resolution in Congress saying we declare war on Germany and have it voted up or down, but don't sneak us by a back door into war. And because their son, their fathers and uncles had fought and bled and died in World War I, only to make the world safe for democracy, only to see the British Empire annex another million square miles.
And we're certainly following in their footsteps with regards to the collapse of what was truly the greatest nation in the history of civilization, these United States of America. But you mentioned propaganda. Had divine providence seen fit for Pearl Harbor to have never occurred, let's say the United States stays home and Germany proceeds to defeat Stalin, what would America have looked like in 2008, Pat? Would Hitler have come over here, liquidated Christianity, holocausted our people, or would perhaps the world have been a better place had we abstained?
Well, you can't know. I mean, by then, when you're talking about 1941, Hitler did not want war in the West. That's why he didn't demand the return of Alsace-Lorraine from France, where he did want the return of Danzig from Poland or from the League of Nations. And he did not want war with Britain, never did. He wanted to see the British Empire preserved. He was a great admirer of it. He thought Britain was a natural ally of Germany because they had no conflicts. And so I think if the British hadn't given the war guarantee, I don't know that there would even have been a war with Poland, because the German offer was not outrageous for return political control of their city, Danzig, with the Poles having economic control. And I don't know if there would even have been a war with the Soviet Union then, for the reason that Germany would not have had a border with the Soviet Union. They would have had to get permission from Romania or from Poland, and from Hungary, even to invade the Soviet Union. So I don't know there would have been a war. If, however, Hitler had not declared war in the United States, I think he would have been stopped in Russia. The Russians had stopped him clearly by 1940, But it might have, the outcome of that war would have been in doubt, because I think it was American Lend-Lease and all the equipment we gave to Stalin which enabled him to really sustain his war effort and mount that enormous offensive the Russians had coming into Europe.
Right.
I do think if you had not gotten into the war by 43, Stalin would probably have been on the Rhine, not just the Elbe.
Well, that's very interesting, and it could have been, but certainly a lot of American blood would have been spared, and I think that's what we all would have wanted.
Right. Well, it was a wonderful thing the America First people did, and I was criticized for it. But in the America First folks kept us out of war until after Hitler made his fatal blunder of invading Russia, which meant that the Russians bore the burden of battle, as they rightly should have, as Stalin's regime certainly should have, because they were partners of Hitler. And Americans, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of American soldiers, lived who would not have lived if we had had to fight Germany from the West and without the Soviet Union in the war.
Well, Pat, you're certainly a student of history. I like to read as much as I can. I certainly wouldn't compare my intellectual prowess to yours, but if we could survive General Sherman, we could have survived Hitler, I think. But let me ask you this. How did you go about researching for this book? This is yet another typically well-researched Pat Buchanan book. Who did you primarily consult with and reference when writing this?
Well, what I did was, after I did A Republic, Not an Empire, I got that good letter from George Kennan, the great geostrategist of the Cold War, who agreed with me on a point I'd been really torn apart for, which was when I said, look, if once after the Battle of Britain, if the Germans couldn't get air superiority over the British Isles, they certainly couldn't get it over the Atlantic, and if they couldn't land in England, they're not going to land in the United States. It's preposterous. There was no threat. And I was attacked for that, and I sort of determined, I said, at some point I'm going to expand on this argument because I think it's true. And so, well, you know, I started reading more and more books, and I was going to write a book on the war guarantee, and then you go back and say, well, how did we get to there? And you keep going back, and I had to sort of cut it off in 1905. But I've got about 120 books, histories, biographies, Churchill. I must quote six of Churchill's books,
mm-hmm.
six of Andrew Roberts' books. He's a friend of mine, a historian in Britain. And you just keep reading them, and what you do is you decide, here's the six key decisions and pivot points that decided the history of the century. One of them, of course, is just before the 6 weeks between Sarajevo, the assassination of the Archduke in World War One. You get Versailles, another. And I decided that the British breaking their treaty with Japan was another, at the Washington Naval Conference. And then I discovered that Mussolini despised Hitler, loathed him, wanted an alliance with the West. So you did the stress affront, then the familiar ones, Rhineland, Anschluss, Munich. But the key one is the war guarantee. And that's the soul of the book. And I would, if people can only read one chapter, read that, because it shows how leaders in panic and haste and folly, who have been knocked on their heels by being humiliated, can make a horrendous decision which costs them everything, the whole British Empire and the British nation as one of the first ranked of nations. That was put on the line in an insane war guarantee that the British could not honor and did not honor.
And if people want to know more, they're going to have to go out and buy the book, right, Pat?
Yes, sir.
Well, that
buy it and take it to the beach on July 4th.
There you go, and buy a couple of copies for your friends. And that book is, of course, Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War, How Britain Lost Its Empire and the West Lost the World. It is a runaway bestseller on the charts right now, authored by our good friend Pat Buchanan. Mr. Buchanan, thank you so much for coming back on our program, for fighting for our people. And last question. What can your fans expect to see from Pat Buchanan for the next 20 to 30 years?
Well, I don't know how long we're all going to last, to be very honest. But I hope to write, I've got one book in mind. I'm not sure I'm going to do it. One book in mind, which is, I think that, and it would be not a large book, but it's sort of the, it's not Death of the West, but it's sort of the coming world where I think issues of race, and ethnicity and culture, the wars of race, ethnicity, and culture are going to replace the old wars, if you will, of ideology and dynasty and empire. And I see that coming, and it's not a pleasant sight, but Pat Moynihan sort of saw it coming, so did Dr. Schlesinger. and I've read a number of columns on this, and you see the divisions in our society increasingly along the lines of race and ethnicity. And I don't think it's a pleasant prospect that our kids and grandkids confront. And I'm going to try to address it and see if there's any ways that it can be resolved, sort of short of some sort of balkanization of America.
More to come from Pat Buchanan. Stay tuned. And again, Mr. Buchanan, thank you for your service, for your generosity in appearing with us. I turned 28 years old this week. You've made my birthday quite memorable, and
well,
we thank you for that.
I can remember when I was 28. You know what I was doing?
What's that?
I was flying around the country with Richard Nixon at just this period in 1966, trying to elect Republicans after the Goldwater disaster. And we succeeded, elected 47 of them.
So in other words, your 28th year on Earth was a hell of a lot more productive than mine. Thanks again.
I don't know about that.
Thanks again, my friend, and God bless you.
Well, God bless you. Bye-bye.
And that was our interview with Pat Buchanan. I know we're coming up on a break. We'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
Go to drinkjujube.com. That's drinkjujube.com, and find out what two dangers you really do face today and how drinking the juice of the jujube fruit protects you against both. The jujube fruit has been used in Chinese medicine for almost 4,000 years. At drinkjujube.com, find out why thousands of people, including football star John Elway, featured there in a CBS TV interview, are drinking every day the energizing juice of the powerful, concentrated, free radical-fighting nutritional drink of jujube, plus 7 other highly acclaimed fruits and berries, 12 essential vitamins, and 68 minerals, all in highly absorbable, bio-ready, convenient 1-ounce servings. In today's fast-paced, stressful, toxin-filled environments, you need the extra edge to stay that cut above. DrinkJujube.com.
Hi folks, Ronnie McMullen here, host of The Prophetic Watch. As a radio host, many products cross my desk every week. Few products are truly worth endorsing because they don't work or there is some kind of catch or gimmick. Dr. Miller's Life Change Tea does exactly what it says. It cleans your body of chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and the effect is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. I wouldn't put my name behind this product if it didn't work. Here's how you order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's area code 928-308-0408. Finally, a natural product you won't be disappointed in. Getthetea.com.
Let's return to the political cesspool.
Welcome back for the last time this evening to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Bill Rowland, who was co-hosting with me for the first 2 hours and 33 minutes of this show, has gone to bed. So it's just me. He works for a living, as I said, unlike our enemies. We do have to work for a living. And Bill is out, but I'm still here to bid you a fond farewell for the evening. We hope that you've enjoyed tonight's program, and before the break, you heard an interview that I proudly conducted with my friend Pat Buchanan, a man who 8 years ago allowed me to work on his campaign, and my life has not been the same ever since. And I can remember meeting Pat for the first time. It was in January of the year 2000. I had gone with my grandmother to the Hermitage, Andrew Jackson's home. And who walks up behind us? None other than Pat Buchanan. I knew he was going to be there that day. It wasn't happenstance, but I had gone there to meet him, actually. But I was caught a little bit surprised because he just walked in by himself. And I had gone up there to attend a rally that he was having, and we talked, went on the presidential tour of the Hermitage with him. It was just me and him and the curator. Nobody else was there. It was about 10 degrees there that day, and he was just actually there. It was posted to his website, But it wasn't a public event. And he had just gone there to take a tour of the Hermitage privately, and I had the opportunity to tag along with him. And then, that's how the story began. You can read more of it at thepoliticalcesspool.org, more about the development of this program, how we got our start, and where we've been and where we intend to go. Hopefully we'll be going there together. But do, in fact, visit our website, ladies and gentlemen. We think you'll enjoy it. I have a widely web, that's a tongue twister, a widely read blog that I'd encourage you to check out right there at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Sign up for our email list. Send us a line. Let us know what you think of the show. We'd love to work with you. Great guests coming up. I'd like to thank Jerry Taylor, John Tate, and Martin Glenn for being on the program tonight, and, of course, Pat Buchanan. And thanks to our entire production staff there in Memphis, my hosting staff, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Art Frith, our engineer, Gaurav Ahuja, our booking agent, and all those people I'm forgetting to mention right now, like Peter Stanton. I mean, my goodness, that's the thing about these final segments. You put in so much work on delivering a good program, and then you got to remember to thank everybody, and you always forget someone. But if I have forgotten you, I love you. You know that. We'll see you next week right here on RBN. And don't forget, now, we've only been on RBN for 2 weeks. We've got over 600 broadcasts with some of the biggest names in American politics as our guests. Over 600 broadcasts of the Political Cesspool radio program are available to you on demand by visiting our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. So we want you to check it out for a lot of reasons, a lot of reasons. Catch up on the archives. Send us an email. Read our blog. We have an online forum there, too. There's so much fun to be had at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I can't believe people aren't just crashing our server right now. I mean, I'm on it. You know it's got to be good. But anyway, in all sincerity and in all seriousness, we do hope to see you there. We hope you'll bookmark it because we do update the site daily, and you'll be among the first to know of all the breaking news that we continue to make here in the Political Cesspool. You'll be among the first to know who our guests for our next program is, and we want you to be there. So sign up for the mailing list and browse our site. As I said, we'll spend time with you there in the meantime, but until then, until next week, we hope to see you back here on the Republic Broadcasting Radio Network and our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, a station we have called home for 4 years now, and we'll see you back here each and every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Central Time. Some very big names and some very salacious topics still to be covered during the month of September here in the political cesspool. The elections are coming up, a lot of stuff. You're not going to want to miss a single broadcast. And as I said, you can't get enough of us live every week right here on RBN. Go to our archives. More there than you can ever want to listen to, and we hope you enjoy it. All right, everybody. Good night. God bless you. Remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. This is James Edwards for the Political Cesspool Radio Program signing off. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation and keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Men, are you your